Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Fire. Today on Church and State, a new spin on Bezmenov's claims from 1984. We'll also be covering Kamala Harris taken aback by CBS host asking about Trump's re-election hopes. Plus, Washington State's deploying AI cameras to detect wildfires. Hello, Christian Patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. And I am your host, Caleb Collier. I'm kind of a big deal. Maybe. I don't know. My mom hates it when I say that. Yeah, that one's for you, Mom. I'm also your favorite far-right shock jock and the host of the most schizophrenic show on your networks. Hey, thank you for joining us. I always appreciate anybody that tunes me in because most people tune me out. If you want to upload our shows and share them with people, some great people all across the country. I just learned about a new fan in one of those flyover states. I'll talk to you later. But look, share these. We are gaining traction. A lot of people are starting to take notice of what Church and State does and how we are unapologetic about our defense of Christianity and liberty. So share those. Also take advantage of all of our fine affiliates. I'm feeling kind of strange today. What's our strangest? What am I going to cover? Oh, you know what? No. This is too perfect. Okay. I can't play the video. But man, Mike Lindell, oh, I love him even more now. Okay, he was being questioned by a lawyer, and the lawyer made a snarky remark, honestly, and he said he called his pillows lumpy, and Mike Lindell lost his mind, called the guys a whole bunch of names that I can't say, and they were like, okay, calm down. He's like, no, I'm pissed, I'm angry. It was great, and honestly, it made me like my pillow, Mike Lindell, that much more. The guy's a patriot, and you better not call his pillows lumpy. So order some products. Use that promo code Church and State. If you'd like to donate to us, just click on the button. It's so simple for you. Just click the button. Donate directly to us. You know, we do ask people to donate pretty much on every single episode, but I just want to let you know, like, there's a lot of money that goes into this production, and it's self-funded. And Gabe and I pay a lot of our income into making sure that Church and State happens. So if you'd like to support us, give us a love offering or a blessing, please do so, either through cash or through that Bitcoin link. Lastly, if you want to get a hold of us, Church and State 1776 at proton.me. I was showing these guys a song, my producer and engineer. I torture them daily, by the way, just so you know. Like, I get a lot of random thoughts. I think most people who listen to the show understand that about me. I can be very random, and I love to subject them to songs that they've probably never heard before that I think might be good, you know, like Mbop. Oh, love that song. Isn't that a great song? No, I'm kidding. but I love to torture them a little bit, and I tell people, if I'm not teasing you, it means I don't like you, okay? But I was showing them this song, and it had a line about rice cakes, and it led me down a rabbit trail. I know people love it when I go off on my likes and dislikes. Rice cakes. You remember these? These were a staple of like the 80s and 90s. Like every single person had a package or two of rice cakes in their cabinet, and mom would bring them out and you'd get this compressed concoction of rice attempting to be popcorn with a small dusting of flavoring on it. They were so dry. They're so horrible. But it's all like this health food thing, right? Everybody, rice cakes, you got to eat your rice cakes. Aren't you glad that fad like disappeared completely? Can you even buy rice cakes anymore? I hope not. I mean, they had the consistency of styrofoam, and people were eating them all the time. Could we just stop? And then they got crazy with it. They make like peanut butter sandwiches with rice cakes. What are you doing? It's like lipstick on a pig. Okay, you're not making it any better. And it got me thinking about it. You know, there's been a lot of really annoying health fads. You remember kale chips? You remember when they tried to convince us that kale tasted good? It doesn't. It's nasty. Nobody liked it. You tried to throw it into salads. You're trying to throw it into smoothies. You get the little green thing in your teeth. It's horrible. And then they came out with these kale chips. Like, we're going to be over here, like, just digging into a bowl of potato chips. And you know, we're not really watching. We're watching the game or something. And we come back, we throw it in our mouth, and it's a kale chip. And we don't notice. We don't notice that that tastes horrible. It's like, ah, get it off my tongue. It's horrible. And last but not least, and this one that it still exists a little bit. It's still out there in the corners of America. And I'm going to attack you right now. You yogurt shops. You make me angry, okay? With your substitute ice cream, your fat-free frozen yogurt, you are the redheaded stepchild of ice cream. And the only solution for those things, when us poor suckers would get dragged in there, typically by our wives, because they're trying to be health conscious, right? They're trying to eat a little bit better, so we're going to get some fat-free yogurt. You know the only solution there is to so load it full of toppings that it's completely unhealthy for you again. That's the only solution. I'm throwing everything on that thing. You got the brownies, the cookies, gummy. I don't care. You got chocolate syrup. Throw that on there too. I'm trying to hide the taste of this fat-free concoction that you're trying to convince me is actually good. It's not. It's not. Stop doing it. They all need to close down. Look, just listen to me. I provide the solutions for America. And one of those solutions is to close down all of these fat-free frozen yogurt shops. I'm serious. I think there's a direct correlation between them and the feminization of men. I'm not wrong. Have you ever been to one of these? The only cars you see in the parking lot are a whole bunch of Subaru Outbacks. Okay, those are the kind of people eating frozen yogurt. All right, I'm done. Let's get into some real stories. I love having the microphone. Kamala Harris, taken aback by CBS host. Chris, go ahead and get this audio clip up and ready for me, because it's best coming from her own words. I mean, I don't typically love to listen to Kamala Harris, but every once in a while you just have to. I mean, it's pure comedy gold, right? But she was asked by a CBS host about Trump's reelection hopes. And just listen to what her response was. Go ahead and play that.
Are you taking the threat of a second Trump presidency seriously enough?
I don't understand the question.
I don't understand the question. What is wrong with you? Like, do you not have enough coffee? I know I'm better on coffee. By the way, I'm highly caffeinated, so you'll have to excuse me on today's episode. But did she just not have enough coffee? She's probably a tea drinker. That's another thing we should ban in the U.S. This tea, take it off the board. Okay. What is going on with this woman's brain that she can't understand the question? Look at your polls. Look at the polling that says across the board in every single state, Donald Trump is leading as the Republican contender. And so when this CBS reporter, who, by the way, CBS sucks, but when she asks her a legitimate question about are you taking this seriously enough, her response, and for those of you who were just on radio, you didn't get to see her puzzled expression. She's completely vexed by this question. And to come back with, I don't understand the question? What don't you understand about it? Do you not see the real possibility here that you might lose your seat as vice president? That the American people have had it up to here with you and your demented president? Like, why don't you understand that? The reporter followed up with, you were dismissive of some of the Republican criticism of you and the president. When you look at current polling, the frontrunner for the Republican nomination is the former president, the 45th president. And Harris insisted that she and President Biden would win re-election. I wouldn't bet on it. You know, I'm not a betting man. You know, as a Christian, I kind of tend to stay away from that kind of stuff. But if you were a horse and I was at the track, pretty sure I wouldn't put all my money on you. Pretty sure that's not the winning ticket there. Okay, so this, once again, Kamala Harris proving without a shadow of a doubt that she is as inept as you can possibly be. And this is the number two Oh, I wish I had the Austin Powers for that one. She's the number two to lead this nation in case Biden falls again or does something else. This is your number two, ladies and gentlemen. This is who will lead America during times of crisis, because that's really all the Democrats offer. It's not a time of peace and prosperity. It's only a crisis. So this is your leader for whatever crisis they're going to hit us with next. Good job, America. Moving on from there, let's talk about benevolence and government acts. You see, crisis solution, I talked about it on the last episode, but this is what they've been doing. They've been doing this for decades, okay? They create a crisis, create a solution. And right now, Washington State is deploying artificial intelligence cameras to detect, combat wildfires. Well, what did we just have? We have, you know, in Washington State, and actually in a lot of America, there's actually five seasons. I don't know if you know that. You know, we were traditionally told that there are four seasons, summer, winter, you know, spring, fall, right? But no, we actually celebrate Smogist in Washington State. I know there's a lot of other states like that as well. We have fire season. Right, where summer disappears and we're under this haze. Okay, so we just experienced that here in Washington State and throughout a lot of the other country. And, of course, we need to do something about that. And, you know, what could possibly be the solution for all the wildfires that plague us every single year? Oh, it couldn't possibly be forest management. It couldn't possibly be allowing them to get back in and logging and creating roads that the fire department can then use in case of a forest fire. No, nothing like that. No, we want to return all of the wilderness to the wild and allow all of these trees and brush to grow up and create basically just a lot of burnable material so that when these fires start, they rage across the landscape. Now, yeah, that's not the problem. No, what we're going to do is we're going to put up all these cameras. We're going to establish a surveillance state. Coming to you directly from China. Yeah, you want to live like that? Now, of course, right now, it's rather benign, and who would say, no, I don't want you to set up cameras to detect and combat wildfires, but just walk this a little bit further. Walk back and examine their plans. Think about what they want to do to society and how every single one of us will be put on the reservation, and those of us who don't have the mark of the beast will, of course, be hunted. Will be the enemy of the state. Well, where will we, the people, flee? And in fact, the Bible tells us to flee from the cities. Where will we be going? We'll be going into the wilderness. And now they're establishing cameras throughout the wild to detect wildfires or perhaps Christian nationalists. You see, we're the enemy, and they're establishing the infrastructure in order to monitor who's actually out there, who's escaping, who's rejecting the society that they have built. You need to look for the story behind the story. And this is one of those cases, and this is why I'm bringing it to your attention. I'll tell you, there's a few solutions there. And before I go into this, I'm going to tell you, I'm not recommending that you do these things. I'm not recommending that you engage in this type of civil disobedience. Cameras are fragile, and sometimes rocks get thrown at things. I didn't say it. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying that this is the case. Enough said. Let's move on from there, and let's talk about the KGB. Now, 39 years ago or so, it was actually exactly 39 years, KGB defector Yuri Bezmenov, he sat down with G. Edward Griffin. You remember him, creature from Jekyll Island. Still alive, too, in his 90s. Doing great. What an American hero. But he sat down with them, and he talked about how they would destabilize the United States, how they would take over this country. And he really had four stages. And number one in that stage was demoralization. Number two was destabilization, and then you had crisis followed by normalization. They've been engaging in this policy for quite some time, and as you look around and everything that has occurred, and I mean, you could go all the way back to the 1960s, was that a communist plot to destabilize this country? And I would suggest, yes, that's exactly what it was. As they infiltrated this organic movement, or maybe they initiated it. Who knows? But regardless, there was Marxist agitators in this movement that destabilized the country. And you can see it over and over and over again. Now, I think the one thing that the KGB missed in this is how Americans bounce back. And they thought that they could initiate this process and very quickly move to the other three stages. Unfortunately for them, and fortunately for us, we bounce back and we reject because freedom's in our DNA. And so the destabilization or the demoralization didn't work as well as they thought it would back in the 60s. But do you think they stopped? Absolutely not. And you can see it over and over and over again from the 60s on, where they have attempted to engage certain people, certain groupings, certain movements. Case in point, the BLM movement, Antifa, groups like these. Yeah, they're all part of this program to demoralize us. And look at the policies that have been enacted by so many of our leaders here in the United States. Barack Obama's entire presidency was meant to demoralize you, conservative Christians. Joe Biden is continuing in that fashion. There's still a group that are rejecting it, but the demoralization process is continuing to push forward. And then we come to destabilization, and Biden is doing just that. Look, he just banned all drilling in the Arctic. Okay, he was releasing, I believe he released like 400 million barrels of our strategic reserve in order to keep gas prices artificially low. Okay, now remember, Trump, you remember $1.73 for gas? Okay, so artificially low, what are you paying now? $4, $5 a gallon? That's artificially low. It's going to get a whole lot worse. And that's part of this destabilization process. They're going after our infrastructure as a country in order to destabilize us, in order to set us up for the next crisis. And it's coming at us. Look, I've already been warning you over and over and over again about this next pandemic. But there are a lot of other ways that they can engage in a crisis. And I think economically we're going that direction. From that crisis, which doesn't last very long, by the way, Bezmenov actually said 1 to 6 weeks is usually what the crisis takes. Then the country is taken over. And you have normalization. And that normalization, well, it's not going to be a government that you and I want to live under. The freedoms that we enjoyed will be stripped away from us. And you will be living in some type of dystopian nation, one that oppresses you and tells you what to do, where to work, where to shop, where to go to church, or even if you can go to church. This is what's coming upon our nation. He was right then, and his warning still holds true today. Look at the Communist Manifesto. This is their plan. They laid it out for you. It's like the anti-Ten Commandments. Hey, this is what they want to enact throughout all of the communist nations, and they want every one of them to be a communist nation. First and foremost is abolition of private property. Are we seeing that in the United States now? Do you see how regardless you don't own your property, that no matter what, there's always going to be a tax upon it? You don't own that. To quote Barack Obama, you didn't build that. Heavy progressive or graduated income tax? Yeah, are your taxes going up? I think so. I think we all would agree on that. Abolition of all rights inheritance. What are you seeing? You've got death taxes now. There's an attack on those whose parents, they were fortunate enough. Look, is it fair? Life's not fair. Okay, but there are individuals who are born into wealthy families. And you know what? Most of the people who gained that wealth worked their tail off. They took advantage of the American dream. And if they want to pass that on to their children, so be it. Now, granted, a lot of those kids end up spoiled rotten. But still, the government doesn't have the right to come in there and take that from them. Do you really want the things that you've worked so hard in order to pass down to your children and your children's children to be taken and regulated by the government? Because it's happening. Confiscation of all property of all immigrants and rebels. Yeah, what just happened with Liberty Safe? How did Liberty Safe become Bud Lighted? Well, it's because the FBI went to them and they had a backdoor way of opening that safe. Confiscation of all property of rebels. It wasn't the government's property. It was that individual's. We're seeing this come again and again and again. You got the centralization of credit in the hands of the state, a national bank. Well, we've had that since 1913. Communists have been at this for a very long time. Centralization of all means of communication. Why am I alternative media? Why is it that I've been banned permanently from YouTube? Why is it that so many individuals are removed from social media platforms? Yeah, because there's work that is occurring to centralize all forms of communication. And they're silencing those of us who reject their system. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state? Yeah. Do you not see how that crony capitalism that we currently believe in is doing just this? You don't think that the government has its hands in most of the major industries throughout our nation? Well, if you don't, it's time for you to wake up. Equal obligation of all to work. An establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. This has been going on for a long time. We've got all sorts of little agencies that have popped up here and there. The right to work. We are now told that every single person has that right. Look, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And there's a lot of people that are not working, that are not actually contributing to society. But this communist agenda, well, it's certainly working. Combination of agriculture and manufacturing industries. Yeah, okay. Gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country. Are they attacking the small cities, the rural areas? Yeah, they certainly are. Everything is being integrated in order to oppress freedom. And last but not least, free education for all children in government schools. Yeah, that one's been going on for a long time as well. So you can see how this communist plot, this manifesto, this Bible, this Ten Commandments that they have is being implemented or has been implemented throughout the United States for a very long time. Now, the reason I bring this up is I'm going to root for Putin, or rooting for Putin, as the episode is called here. And before I do, let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a fan of Putin. Okay, I think he is a tyrant. But I wanted to bring it up because I want to understand the man. And I want to introduce an idea to you that perhaps most of you haven't thought of. Why does Putin act the way that he does? Why is he rejecting the West? And why is he enacting policies and laws in his country that seem oppressive when we're reading them through the Western slant? Why is he fighting against the Ukrainians and that corrupt government? It's because he knows. It's because Vladimir Putin is KGB. And so when he sees these plans being implemented in his own country, he identifies it immediately and he reacts. He knows the plans of the enemy because he was the enemy. And so many of these policies, when we're looking at the jailing of prominent figures, sure, on face value as Americans, we look at that and we say, he can't do that. That's not right to arrest people who have opposing views. But what so many of us fail to recognize is these individuals have been sent in, just like the Marxist agitators that were sent in during so many of the movements that we had in America. Why do you think General Pinochet threw communists out of helicopters? Why did that occur? Because they were agitators. They were sent there to disrupt the Chilean government. Is it right? Probably not. But can you understand what they were doing? Why is Putin persecuting artists, musicians, who have lyrics that reflect poorly on Mother Russia? Because once again, music is a fantastic medium for pushing these controversial ideas. Why was Satan over music? Can you not point to our current American music industry and say that so many of what is pushed out is actually a detriment to society, a detriment to our children? Do you not think Putin understands that? Restricting non-governmental organizations, NGOs that participate in political activities and receive funding from overseas must now register as foreign agents. 100% agree. Because these NGOs are major players in disrupting every single nation that they're installed in. Putin is dead on with making it hard for these individuals to operate. How about expanding the definition of treason? And look, this is dangerous because when the state decides who a traitor is, yeah, they can implement that on anybody. And they can point the finger on anyone and throw them into prison. But a lot of these individuals who've been operating in Russia are traitors to that country. And so, yeah, he's trying to protect them. Criminalizing public actions of the LGBTQ community, you know, not unlike Troy in Indiana. But here's the thing. The LGBTQ agenda is meant to come after especially your kids. And we all see that and we know that. And Putin has come after them and made it illegal. I applaud it almost. Look, do I want that to happen in my own country? Not necessarily, but I understand him. Without condoning or condemning, I understand. And last but not least, intimidating human rights defenders. As Americans, we see these human rights defenders and we say, these are the good guys. But history has shown us that so many of these who fly under this moniker are actually foreign agents that are designed to disrupt our system, that hate America, that want to take it down. Vladimir Putin is not a good guy, and I would never move to Russia. But I understand what he's doing. He's trying to protect his country from the threat that he knows all too well. I would hope that we would learn a lesson from that. Not go as far as he does, because he is a tyrant. But in America, we need a little bit more of protecting our sovereign borders to secure our liberty for ourselves and for our posterity. Church and State is sponsored in part by Constitution Party and Patriot Church. I'm Caleb Collier, and I was born for a storm.
Welcome to the fire.